Hi, friends, and welcome back to the Cozy Club. I'm Reagan.
And I'm Monica.
And thank you for joining us today on our very cozy podcast, which is a warm hug in podcast form for all the soft hearts out there. Grab a warm drink and join us for wholesome books, games, stories, and more. Before we jump into today's episode, apologies for our little mini hiatus there. We had some illnesses going around and Monica became a groupie for a time in her life, which was very exciting to see unfold via social media.
It was thrilling.
It was awesome, honestly. I was living vicariously through you. But in today's episode, we're going to be talking about one of Monica and I's favorite topics, and that is cozy gaming.
Yeah, so we are so excited for this topic. But before we dive in, just wanted to throw a quick reminder to subscribe on your podcast app of choice and also leave us a review. It really helps us out. And also a reminder that our next episode is actually going to be our book club episode where we will be discussing the Thursday Murder Club. So if you want to be part of that discussion, be sure to send in your review or thoughts to cozyclubpodcast@gmail.com by January 27th so we can include them.
Yay. I'm so excited to discuss that book with you, with everyone. So again, if you have any thoughts and feelings, please share them with us. But should we dive into today's topic of cozy gaming? Oh man, what?
Yes, absolutely.
What a topic of discussion. I feel like we could have like a whole season on cozy gaming because I feel like it's something we're both very invested in for different reasons. I'm newer to the field, let's call it. Monica's more experienced in the cozy gaming world. But I guess before we talk about what specifically cozy gaming is, should we give a little background on our own gaming history?
Yeah. Should I kick us off?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure. So I honestly don't have a huge background in gaming before like 2020. If anything, my mom was actually the gamer growing
Love
up
that.
And
Tracks.
A lot of my memories, yeah, a lot of my memories growing up were of watching her play various video games like Tomb Raider, Mario, etc. And for me, like gaming always actually gave me a lot of anxiety, but I always loved the storyline. So for example, I always loved watching all the cutscenes in Kingdom Hearts, so I would make her play the actual game part and then let me watch the cutscenes. So that was really my background in gaming. I think the only real games that I was obsessed with was Pokemon, and I had a Nintendo specifically, or I had a Game Boy specifically to play Pokemon, and that was basically it. And so that was really my background in gaming before 2020 when I discovered this whole like wholesome, cozy gaming world.
Love that. So for me, I'd say it's kind of the opposite. So like I grew up playing so many games. I have an older brother and my dad also loved to play video games. So it was a big way that I would like bond, I guess, with my family. We would play everything, MMORPGs together. We'd play, you know, the N64, GameCube, PlayStation, Xbox. And also gaming became like a big centerpiece of like my friend group. We do like LAN parties, League of Legends, like all of these things. And my first job was actually at GameStop. So I was like, I loved video games.
Really in it.
Yeah, I was deep in and I would play all of them. But really, I would say too, I would play for so many years, but I think like really deconstructing like why I loved video games was first part of it was a huge social aspect. I'd play a lot of games because my friends were playing them and I loved to like play online with them and like bond and spend time, you know, like that online gamer chat, your gamer tag, like that whole thing was just really fun. When I was solo gaming though, I loved these like huge open world games where I could play at my own pace. I mean, I've played, you know, so many different RPGs in the way that like Pokemon, I've played every iteration of Pokemon like throughout the entire existence of the franchise via video games, but also, you know, like Skyrim and all of these types of games and a lot of online RPGs as well. But when I think about like why I liked them, I really loved the almost monotonous element of it. Like my family again loved like World of Warcraft. They were all in guilds and they would like do dungeon raids and like I would play but I had no interest in like the intense aspect. Like I just wanted to do quests and like level up by myself and like the repetitive nature of just fighting to level up and just kind of like grinding quote unquote was so relaxing to me. And so it makes sense, I feel like, bridging those two things into cozy gaming, because a lot of what cozy gaming is like this monotonous, repetitive action. But absolutely. I will say, after graduating high school, because, you know, your friend groups kind of shift, I did not play as many video games. Also, I didn't have anywhere to play them in my dorm room. So I stopped playing for a long time. And then, you know, working full time, it was just kind of a hobby that fell off my radar. But then I guess in 2020, it was like a priority for me to kind of rediscover this passion that I was once so deeply connected to, which is kind of where I fell into cozy gaming. And I haven't really looked back since, I guess.
Amazing. I love that.
And I'm realizing now, I don't know if we've defined cozy gaming as like a genre. Do you want to let the people know, maybe if they haven't heard of it before?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it's pretty in flux still right now. Like, I think it's fairly new. I will say that I think one of the people who like really coined the term is Kennedy, whose username is literally Cozy Games. And she kind of got her start on TikTok, and I think really brought the idea of like cozy gaming to the forefront of just like games that, you know, are meant to be relaxing, that aren't super high stakes, that anyone can play, and just making gaming really accessible. And I think before that, the term that was often used was wholesome gaming, often used because of a YouTube channel or news organization, gaming organization called Wholesome Games, which really highlights a lot of indie games that, again, are in that space, so just like sort of low stakes, you know, cute, easier to play games. And I don't mean that in like a bad way. I think that is one of the things in gaming that like, if something's easy, it's often seen as like bad. But what I love about this whole world of cozy gaming is it's just like, you know, gaming can be part of your everyday life, and it can be like a chill part of it too. And so I've loved seeing that sort of growth over the past few years. And I especially love the focus on indie games within that like cozy space, because you know, you don't have to have these like huge, I mean, you can, there are a lot of like mainstream games now that, you know, are cozy, Animal Crossing, a huge one, but you don't have to have these like giant sweeping, like huge, big budget games in order to like play video games or like have a cozy game, which I also like, because it makes it accessible also for game developers.
For sure. I think that's awesome. And I also think too, like, as you said, it's kind of in flux. And I think by nature, like what is cozy is going to be a personal experience. So like what you find relaxing as an individual, it's cool because there's this kind of space that's developing to kind of fit those different needs. Obviously, there's kind of token types of games that always fit into this, but like what I might find cozy, like Monica might not be so interested in the space, but like would still agree that it can be considered cozy, and like vice versa. It's cool too, because like there's always been these games being made. Like Animal Crossing has been around for, you know, two decades at this point, basically. And it's always been beloved. Like Animal Crossing, Harvest Moon, like these types of games I've always played like as a kid and has always loved so much. But I never really knew, obviously, because it really wasn't as much of like a topic, like, oh, like what are these games like? And are there other like indie games that are available that kind of give this sort of really nice feeling, like these cute and charming games that, you know, have been in development, but I feel like there's like this space that things have really been accelerated, especially recently, which has been so nice too.
For sure.
So when it comes to relaxing or cozy games, Monica, what type of games do you personally look for? Like the genres, you know what I mean? And we can go into specific recommendations.
Yeah, I think in terms of like genres, I don't really have one specific where it's like, oh, I only play this, because like I love a dungeon crawler, like I love Hades, but it has to have like a good story to it. And I also like, I love games that really prioritize like being able to interact with different characters, and having those characters have like actual like depth and like interesting things going on. It's actually one of the reasons why I didn't love this iteration of Animal Crossing, because it just, it was for me a little bit too open and a little bit too repetitive in terms of the characters. But I also am a big fan of visual novels, which are games where basically, you know, you're not really playing to like win anything, and you can't really lose. It's more so like you're using the the controls of the video game to move forward a story. And I think I just find that, honestly, just as a reader, as someone who loves stories, to just be really interesting, an interesting idea of like maybe the future of storytelling, especially doing it. You know, I have an Oculus, and one of the really cool games on there is the Star Wars game, where again, like, I mean, it is like a Star Wars game. So yeah. You are, you know, it is an action game. Around. But like, you're not really, you're not really losing anything, and you're not really battling anything. It's really just like you're moving forward the story by doing these actions. And I love things like that too, where like you just get this really amazing story. And I feel like that's been, you know, my whole life. Cause even, you know, when I was little and I wasn't into video games, I still really loved stories and like, yeah, things were compelling. Like I was interested. And so I think that's what normally like really sucks me in.
Yeah.
And then of course, you know, I love the repetitiveness of a farming sim too. So
yeah, no, that really tracks. And I'm even thinking too about like some of your favorite games that you talk to me about, like that definitely lines up. And I think that's really lovely too. Like these beautiful games. I feel like for me, like one of the reasons why I've been getting back to cozy gaming, I feel like it's because my attention span is like 0%. So I really like cozy gaming because I feel like it's a great way to like engage my brain. That's not with TV. It's not with my phone, but it still can be challenging. I do I like want to love story sims more, but my whole life, I'm always just like, like get through this dialogue. Like I have stuff I need to do. Yeah. I have things I need to plan. I have quests I need to accomplish.
Yeah.
So like sometimes I really want to get sucked into one. I'm hoping like I'll develop into it, you know, like as my attention span fixes itself. I think I'm, again, similarly, I play all different types, but I think like if there's like a combination of things that I'm like, ooh, I'm really drawn to that just immediately. The first is any type of adventure RPG, large scale, small scale. I love just being able to do my own thing. And I like being able to explore. I think that's like something I always really enjoy. So on a large scale, you know, like there's like the big blockbuster games like Breath of the Wild, Skyrim, like all of that. I love the go your own pace, but there's even smaller scale versions of RPGs and exploration based games that are indie that are so much fun. And I also love RPGs because there tends to be like a customization element to it. And I just really enjoy like stockpiling and then like finding cute armor. Like there's something about like the customization and the go at your own pace of those games that I find really relaxing and immersive.
Yeah.
Why am I out of breath?
You're just really excited.
I'm just so excited. Those games too tend to be ones that I like because I feel like it will take my full attention. Like I don't need to do other activities. That being said, another element or another genre of cozy gaming I like is that they're great. They can be great, like multitasking games. So I have this bad habit of like watching TV and being on my phone. So I'm trying to not be on my phone. So I like cozy games because there's ones that can really engage my brain and I can kind of have TV on in the background. And so I love like a simple puzzle game a lot because I mean, I love puzzles in real life. This is very established, like puzzles. So digital form, real life form, like I'm just interested in those and farm sims. But I feel like I have to be really in the mood for a farm sim. I either am like, I'm building this farm, this is my entire personality, or I'm not into it. You know what I mean? It just depends on the day. But I would say RPGs and puzzle based games would be like my generally favorite genres, but I'm always interested in anything.
That makes sense. No, I definitely the puzzles makes a lot of sense for you.
It's like, it itches my brain in a way that I really like. And I think, I guess kind of segueing into like our thoughts about this world of cozy gaming, touching back on what you said, like, I love how it's evolving. And I also love that it's changing the dialogue around what it even means to be a gamer. I feel like the culture of being a gamer, and I think too, especially growing up, it's very male dominated. I mean, I worked at GameStop, like the culture of what was perceived as like, oh, you're a real gamer or not a gamer was like very specifically defined, which is ridiculous in itself. But I feel like with the expansion of one, the different types of games and people being more knowledgeable about them, that they even exist, is allowing more people to enter the fold and enjoy this wonderful pastime without, like, a lot of the like Dark Souls, for example. Like, you can't just pick that up if you've never really played. I mean, you can. Some people might be prodigies, but like, I don't want to play Dark Souls because it's way too hard.
Yeah.
And like, I don't find that an enjoyable experience, just like being stressed and dying all the time. And it's an intimidating game. And like, I feel like people sometimes who are like really deep into gaming, it's like, if you're not playing Dark Souls, you're not a real gamer, you know?
No, I completely agree. And it's interesting, even like over the past couple of years since, like when I first started posting content about cozy gaming, the amount of hate comments was wild.
It's just versus crazy.
Today, I feel like it's not as, I feel like people are more accepting of it within the gaming space, or at least like they're more used to it.
Yeah.
You definitely still get like weird comments, usually from men who are just very upset that you're entering the space. But for the most part, I think it's like chilled out and people are like, okay, this is like a part of like the industry now. And it's also really cool to see like the industry itself prioritize it, you know, like I think Xbox made it a really big priority to get certain like cozy gaming titles like at launch. I think Little Witch in the Woods was one of those. People were very upset about it because it was like an exclusive for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's really interesting to see like how that has evolved the world of gaming. And I'm excited and hopeful for how it'll continue to push the industry forward to a place that is more inclusive of people who, you know, want to play all different types of games. Cause I think like that is going to have to be the future of gaming. Like you can't just have the same style of game over and over again, or be trying to attract the same type of people over and over again. Like you, I think having a diverse range of like styles of gaming, and even just like thinking about like what even is gaming, and like trying to rethink all of that, like from its, like from the core, I think is going to be really interesting over the next like few years.
For sure. And I also feel like I mean, I'm not saying this culture is gone, but like, I guess engaging in the gaming world, because it's interesting, because I was so involved and then I took a break and now I feel like I'm engaging with the gaming world again. And it could just be like the crowd I'm engaging with is very different, but it was almost like back in the day, it would be like the scorecard. Like what games have you played? What difficulty did you play it on? How many hours have you put into these games? Like, have you done this, 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 and this? And again, like working in those spaces, like all the time, people would be like, do you even play? Do you even play? Are you even a real gamer? I'm like, this is the most ridiculous. I'm like 16, sir. Like, can you stop talking to me? This feels weird. And it just felt like it was like this, like I don't know how else to relate it, but like, you know, when you're a Girl Scout and you have all these badges, it's like to be considered a gamer, to enter this space, you have to have all of these badges to belong. And I just feel like that is really hopefully changing. And also it's just silly in and itself. Like no one likes a gatekeeper.
No, I agree. I also just think like that type of culture isn't as accepted too. Like we all know to make fun of it, like when people try and like do that now.
Yeah.
Like stop gatekeeping and all of that. It's just, it's just silly. And it's like that for everything, right? Because I think that was even like a few years ago in the reading community, it was oh, have you read this book? Have you read the classics? Have you, you know, you're not a real reader unless you like read physically. And if you read audiobooks or ebooks, you're like fake.
Doesn't
or whatever.
Count. Yeah. Fake reader.
Yeah. That was like a thing I remember a few years ago, like fake reader girls, or they like focus more on their makeup than their
books. Oh my God. I got a comment. I remember that was a time. I remember I got a comment that was like, do you even know how to read? It seems like you're wearing way too much makeup. I'm like, no, I don't. I've been a YouTuber for 10 years and it's the greatest scam I've ever pulled off. I can't even read.
Like Leah Michelle over here.
Exactly. I am the Leah Michelle of BookTube. This whole time, nobody knew. Nobody knew.
Wow. You heard it here first, people.
Here's breaking news. But yeah, I just think cozy gaming is such like welcoming, comforting, and it's just such a nice space to like discover. And I also feel like as I've gotten older too, I like a lower stakes video game. Like I love playing on my Switch more than like playing on a console now. Like I'm looking to relax, you know, like the world is a lot sometimes and I'm not really trying to like simulate the disaster that is our world, like in a video game all the time. Sometimes I really want just like a magical, fantastical, lovely experience. So that's also why I think cozy gaming is great.
On that note, should we maybe dive into some of our just personal favorite games?
Yes, let's do it. You should start. Amazing. I want to write them down. I have literally a notepad in front of me.
You've definitely heard of all of these.
I'm still writing them down. Right?
I'm very excited. Okay, let's see. So one of my favorite genres of game that I've recently discovered as a favorite are mystery games, because I love a whodunit novel. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, having that in video game form, like actually being able to like play it out is so fun. Yeah. So I have two of these that I wanted to recommend. The one is much more accessible than the other. I think actually they're both pretty accessible, just depends on the platform. Anyways, so the first one I actually want to recommend is Jenny LeClue, which is I think my favorite mystery game that like you can play on a platform, like a handheld platform. So you could play this on your phone. It has a mobile game, which is what I've actually been playing, and it's great. But I know it is available across platforms. And basically in this, you follow this girl who is a character in this man's like cozy mystery series. That's like a middle grade cozy mystery. Yeah. And she's super clever and precocious, and she's really frustrated actually with being in a cozy mystery. Like she wants real action, she wants real stakes. and so that's kind of what happens, is she like kind of takes over the story almost, and like, and we get like a full-fledged mystery from this guy. And it's that like meta-ness of it. I love anything that's like a story within a story and like has meta elements. So like that's really fun, but also just like the art and the way, or like the twists and turns that happen for these characters is just so fun and interesting. And I was like genuinely floored by how good it was. So highly recommend Jenny LeClue. But if you also want like sort of a classic mystery game, there's also The Room, which is a mystery game, but it's also like kind of like escape room vibes. And it is also available as a mobile game and on like various platforms, but the way that I played it is The Room VR, which is on the Oculus, which I think a lot of people think VR is a lot more intimidating or hard to get into than it is. Or I think they think the platform is a lot more expensive, because I always did. I thought like in order to get into VR, you had to have like a really intense like PC setup, and you had to buy a really expensive like $1,000 headset, and that it was like really difficult and intimidating to get into. And then I realized that like the Oculus is like, you know, $200 on sale half the time. And with that, you get access to this whole world of like video games that I had no concept for how incredible and amazing it could be. And one of my favorites on that is The Room, where you basically are just like doing escape rooms and unraveling this mystery as you go. And it's so well done and so immersive, and it can be a little spooky, but if any of you have an Oculus, you know, getting it, there are no actual jump scares. It just feels like this.
Could you imagine if you and I playing a jump scare based game on the Oculus? Would we even make it out? Or no, everything in our house would be
absolutely
broken.
Absolutely not. But it's so fun because you literally feel like you're Sherlock Holmes or something. And I love it. It's if you've ever wanted to actually be a detective, The Room VR is incredible. But if you don't have an Oculus, there's still The Room apps and like games like that. And Jenny LeClue, which is phenomenal.
That sounds so much fun. I think I'll start with my puzzle games, and then I'll end with my RPGs. So
amazing.
My puzzle genre, these are more like very approachable, you can multitask playing these, but you can also spend all of your time like so relaxing. The first one is called Strange Horticulture, which is such a good fall vibes game. Like any time of year, but great fall time vibes. So basically, Strange Horticulture, you're not really moving like around. So it's like a very simple structure of a game, but you have a plant shop and you're in this small town. And you basically like solve people's problems by figuring out what plant they need. And you kind of, your inventory of plants continues to grow. And you have to like keep track of this book that you have, which has all your plant information. But it's a little spooky too, because there's some mysteries that are happening in town. And it seems to be connected to various plants. There's like witches, and there's like these local conspiracies. So it's like small town gossip, small town murder mystery, but it's kind of puzzle oriented because you're trying to figure out like what plant fits best for different situations. It's like very straightforward, very simple, great music, great. It's like raining all the time, you know, it's just, it has like a really nice ambiance. Plus it kind of just is like just a nice little puzzle game. And then the other puzzle game I've been playing is a newer one for me. I don't think it's like new. It's kind of new, but new for me. It's called A Little to the Left. And this is like a classic multi-stage puzzle game. It's not, there's really not a story. You're basically doing like very simple puzzles, like in a home environment. The art is really cute. Like the colors are really lovely. But like one level, you might have to organize books from like biggest to smallest, or like make a pattern match, or you might have to like connect these lines in a certain way. It's just, it's very like engaging, but simple and straightforward. Like it's not complicated at all, but the music and the art style is so nice. There's even like this little cat that kind of appears and like messes up your puzzle every once in a while. Like, if you want literally a game that's like, this level is a puzzle and I want to solve it and then move on to another simple puzzle, A Little to the Left is like perfect. It's like so nice and just scratches my brain in like the best way.
So this next game, so I do love a farming sim, and I love like, you know, farming sims that have like characters that you can really get to know and like befriend, sometimes marry, you know, that whole Stardew element. And so first I do want to talk about Stardew, because obviously it's like, I think it's for a lot of people, like their entry into this space. And it's such an easy way to get into the space. But also I think people don't realize that there is so much more you could do with Stardew than maybe on the surface level. And to be fair, this is something that you kind of, you do have to have a PC for. But if you have Stardew on your PC and you haven't explored the world of Stardew mods, I highly recommend it. You basically create like a whole new game by downloading some of these mods, like literally open up whole new areas within the world, whole new characters, and also obviously you can change up the way things look. There are like Ghibli mods and things. It's so fun, and it just, if you've been playing Stardew for a long time and you're kind of feeling stagnant with it and you haven't explored Stardew mods, I highly recommend checking it out. Other than that though, I think the game that's definitely taken over my life over the past like few months has definitely been Disney Dreamlight Valley. I know that this, it's so good. And
I'm not even a Disney girl, and it's fun.
It's for so like the it's world. Literally, I know that it is, you know, everyone's playing it. It's a huge game. So I don't want to wax on too much about it, but I genuinely think that their developers like were on Animal Crossing Twitter seeing everything that people were like annoyed with about the new Animal Crossing, and were like, let's just fix all of this, because that's literally what they did.
Yeah.
And it's, I had no idea how good it was going to be until I played it. And it's just so whimsical and fun, and like genuinely so fun. Like you can kind of feel the love that went into creating this game. And I've just had the best time like exploring that whole world. And I'm so excited because like they're going to be continually adding things to it from what I understand. So I'm also just excited for that element, because that's also been like a big bummer for Animal Crossing fans of like, just kind of being abandoned by Nintendo fairly quickly for a game that is so huge, and that could have been, you know, it could have been like the next Sims. It could have had like a following that was going, that was very strong for years and years and years. And it just kind of felt like they gave us the game and then after a little while bounced, and it, that kind of sucked. But yeah, Disney Dreamlight Valley, so fun. I love a farming sim. And also if you are on PC, I think it is played best on PC personally, but I also would recommend checking out Sunhaven, which is, if you love like magical elements, you want like Stardew, but like fantasy, check out Sunhaven. It's so much fun. And the story in that is also just so good. And I love meeting characters and all of that. And Sunhaven does it really well. So those are definitely my like farming sim recommendations.
Love it. I definitely also have been very addicted to Dreamlight Valley. And I really want to emphasize, like, if you are a Disney soul, you're going to be obsessed because it's just full of all those Disney characters. But I still think it's just as fun. Like, I like Disney, don't get me wrong. Like, I like a Disney film, but I don't consider myself someone who's like diehard Disney person, and it was still fun. It's just like how Kingdom Hearts is like Disney but exactly. It's like an incredible game, you know?
Yes.
Okay,
I feel like so. It also like fulfilled my childhood dream of being able to play Kingdom Hearts, yes. But like having it be too intense for me. So it's like, did I get Kingdom Hearts, but
did you ever as a kid play VMK?
Mm-mm,
it's called Oh my God. Okay. We don't, this might be a sidebar, but there was a game called Virtual Magic Kingdom online. It was like, you remember like the Club Penguin era, like all these games.
Yeah.
So it's like Disney's version of that. And so like you have like an avatar. It's like you like go around. Oh, that was like my life for like years. And I was so good. You should have seen my room. I had all the rare items.
I love that. Oh my gosh.
And they shut it down one day. And it was like mass mourning in the community. Because it was supposed to be like an anniversary game. It was only supposed to be open for like a year. And then they just kept prolonging it. Anyway, it was a whole thing. Okay, moving into probably like just my favorite genre, which is the RPG. Mm-hmm. The RPG. And the great thing about an RPG is it can really scale in any direction you want. So if you want something that's a little more contained, a little simple, you just want an adventure, you want to kill some monsters, collect some items, there's games for you. But if you want something massive and open world on the same vein, there's also games for you. And I like both ends of this spectrum. In the same way that you kind of brought up Stardew Valley, I have to bring up Breath of the Wild, which I feel like is just one of the greatest video game creations of all time. And I also feel like a great entry point into just RPGs in general, Zelda in general. And I strongly believe this is a cozy game. It's like one of the most beautiful, stunning games. And it's also a game that you can really take at your own pace. There's so many puzzles in the game. Like, yes, you're fighting monsters, but Zelda is much more a puzzle game than like a fighting game, if you're familiar with like all the different iterations of the franchise. And it's just like one of the most stunning, this is the game I probably have logged like the most hours in over the past few years. Like, I could just spend every waking hour playing Breath of the Wild and just like live inside of it. It's just a stunning game. And the great thing about all of the RPGs I'm going to recommend is that you can actually change the difficulty. And so I think that's like a really important thing to look into, especially if you're looking for like a lower stakes RPG, is if you can change the level of difficulty, because pretty much all of them today, like you can put on easy mode, which will just completely change, like basically meaning like, yes, you're fighting monsters, but you don't have to worry about it being like so unbelievably impossible as long as you've leveled up your character in an appropriate way to like enter an area, which really like changes the stakes and the difficulty and also the experience of the game, in my opinion, for the better. Cause like, I'm here for a fun time. Like, I'm not here for like a headache. So that's always something to check and to adjust based on like how you want to go about a game. But if you haven't played Zelda, any Zelda franchise, puzzles, dungeons, adventure, they're all stunning. I have played Zelda my whole life and they're just honestly some of the best games ever created. So in that same vein, I'm also going to talk about Skyrim, because one, I feel like it's a game that's obviously so famous, but one I feel like people should not be intimidated by, but might be just because it's like such a famous RPG and people might associate it then with being like really difficult and like not approachable at all. One, this is a game you can adjust the difficulty on in many different ways. Two, I recently posted a TikTok. I was like, Skyrim's a cozy game, fight me. And the comments are so funny. Like, everyone's like, yes, I have a hort. I have a house that I decorate. I can customize my character how I want. And it's a game that you can pace out just how you want to. And like, again, with the adjustment of the difficulty, it's really just this quest adventure with magic and dragons. Like, it's a little darker, I would say, in comparison to some of these other games we're chatting about. But in style, like if you love an immersive game that you can spend so many hours doing like any little thing you want, this is a cool game for you. Also, it's really relationship based. So you kind of spoke on how you really love being able to really make connections with characters in games. Like, Skyrim is like the ultimate version of this. Like, you build relationships with not just people, but with towns. So like how you're perceived when you enter different locations is all based on like how you've engaged with people in this town, like over the course of the game. Like, it really can be about action and combat, but it can really be about whatever you want it to be. Like, you can join a cult, you can become a werewolf. Like, you can do so many things. It's like, it's like gone beyond the realms of just like a straightforward game. And I think because it's so famous, people might not want to pick it up, but it's really not very hard. And now you can get it on the Switch. So it's like very accessible and fun. And it's been really fun for me personally to like rediscover it, I guess. Cause I haven't played it in so long. And then the last one I'll talk about for an RPG is very classically cozy. And it's like an indie game. The animation is really cute and like, I don't want to say like chibi, but it kind of is, right? Like 2D. It's like cute. Like everyone's little, you know, avatar running around the town and stuff. But the game is called Moonlighter. And this game is so fun. Like it's so addicting. And it also combines elements of like different cozy games, genres into one. And it just makes an addicting package. So this is like an adventure RPG game. And you basically play a shop merchant. And in the night, he moonlights as an adventurer. So he dreams of basically exploring all these dungeons and caves and finding all these rare items. So you do that at night, and then you collect all these items in the dungeon to then sell in your shop during the day. And the cool thing about this, it's not just like, oh, I'm selling these things. You set the prices. So you have to figure out like what this random item you found in the dungeon at night is worth during the day. And then you collect gold, and then you can upgrade your character, his armor, his items, health potions, and make yourself more powerful to get rare items and other, you know, more difficult dungeons. You can also then use that gold to upgrade your town, add new shops, make it nicer. So it's like Animal Crossing RPG almost. It's like your tasks are classic like dungeon exploration, but then you have this like really fun merchant sim element to it. And I think the fact that you're able to control the economy is like so unique and really addicting. Like trying to find, it's like Price is Right, like trying to find like the perfect price that won't anger your villagers but also make you the most money is just addicting. I could spend my whole life playing this game. It's so much fun and much smaller in scale. So if you want something that's like huge, beautiful, large budget, check out Skyrim Breath of the Wild. But there's so many like really adorable indie RPGs too, like Moonlighter, that will just take up all your time too.
I love that. Yeah, I remember you talking about that one, and I really want to play it soon, hopefully.
I think you'd like it. I think you would.
So my next genre that I want to talk about are platformer games, which I love a good platformer. The first one I want to talk about is one that like I just think is so fun and cute. It's called Wandersong.
I like the name. And
yeah, it's very cute. It's just like the art is really cute and fun. It's genuinely like the best way to describe this game is just pure fun. So in this one, you play as a bard and you get sent on this quest, but you're a bard, so you're basically just like singing your way through. And it's just so silly, and like there is high stakes in the sense that the world could end, but like it's still like it's very silly about it, and like all of the villains are like pretty silly, and it's just cute. It's just cute, fun, wholesome, good time. If you just want something that is going to be fun, Wandersong is such a good one. And then another one that I love that I think is pretty popular within the cozy game space, but like still not popular enough in like the mainstream, Spiritfarer, which is like,
oh yeah, you love this game. I remember you talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to play Spiritfarer and not fall in love with it, just because like it really attaches itself to your like soul.
It's very emotional. It's
so emotional. Yeah, you basically play as this like apprentice to death, and you're helping fairy people to the afterlife, and you get to like know their stories, and it's just, oh, it's so good and so emotional, and it just like really tugs at your heartstrings. But yeah, those are definitely two of my favorite platformer games, and like they're just platformer games. I feel like are the kind that are just like fun to have on and kind of not play with your brain shut off, because like obviously they do have storylines, but they're really easy to get lost in for a long time. So I always love a platformer for that reason.
The last game I'll recommend is like a newer one for me. I've just started it, but it's like so ridiculous that it's pretty great. It's pretty popular right now. It's called Cult of the Lamb. Have you heard of this?
Oh, I love that one. Yeah, yeah.
But this game is just like so silly in concept, but it's so... So you're basically a cult leader of woodland creatures and or like animals, and you're basically trying to like grow your cult following and make people really committed to whatever it is you're doing. So it's like very dark, but ridiculous because of the characters you're playing as. And it has a lot to do with like influence and decisions and like all of these things. And I don't know, it's very compulsive and the concept is just so out there that I think it just works really well. And it's kind of straightforward. Like you kind of immediately know what you need to do, but I think just like, it's a great example of like such a unique idea with like very traditional, like addicting components, like working together in such a successful way. So if you're wanting to be a cult leader, maybe check out Cult of the Lamb.
I mean, I love a good dungeon crawler. I just like, and especially that one that has like the sort of like story elements, like similarly, very different genre or very different story, but like Hades. Again, like that just sort of like repetitiveness, but also having that like really fun story element or like just fun outside of the dungeon element.
Like you're exploring, but then there's like this weird thing that's also happening at the same time.
I agree.
I need to play Hades. You've mentioned that game to me a couple times, and I feel like you'll love it. That I would really love.
You'll just absolutely love it. Just like purely based on story, and I desperately want it to be adapted. It would just be so good as a show. But yeah, I mean, I think those were all of my recommendations for now. Did you have any others?
No, I think those are the ones that really come top of mind, but I'm excited to reprise this episode like later on with any new games that we're checking out. I mean, Breath of the Wild 2 is coming out apparently this year, so that's going to be my entire personality after the fact. So,
if any of you have any favorite cozy games, definitely send us an email.
Yes.
Yeah, love to check them out.
Send us your recs. We'd love to not only reprise this episode, but I feel like I'm constantly looking for new things to buy. And check out.
Anyways, on that note, a reminder once again that our book club episode will be our next episode. So make sure that you get us your thoughts on the book Thursday Murder Club by January 27th. You can email us at cozyclubpodcast@gmail.com. And once again, if you haven't yet, please go ahead and subscribe and give the podcast a rating as it really helps us out. But thank you all so much for listening. And we hope you have a lovely rest of your day. Stay cozy.
Bye.